live from the iConnect space at 231 Trumbull Street in downtown Hartford. This is where we live. I'm John Dankosky, and this is Little Ugly.
They're near perfect, never breaking from character. As people, they were broken, individual and alone. Set the stage, conceived the cast, tried to ignore the plot. The moral of the story seemed to say they could not. Never heard of, never learned of, taught to memorize numbers and find our way home. In backseats we were brilliant, famous stargazers. Hollow was the stage, but how could we have known? Hollow was the stage, but how could we have known?
That's Little Ugly live on Where We Live. Michael Day, vocals and guitar. Kaya Pazdursky on vocals and violin. Nick Dickinson on drums. Thank you so much for coming out, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, and I should tell all of our listeners that we are not broadcasting in our studios. As you can maybe hear behind me, there's a little bit of rain on the road on Trumbull Street in downtown Hartford. We're broadcasting from 231 Trumbull. This is in the Hartford 21 building. It's right underneath the marquee of the XL Center. So come on by if you're in the area. If you can't make it today but you want to hear more from Little Ugly, they're playing tonight at Cafe 9 in New Haven, one of the best spots in all the state. We've got more information on our website at WNPR.org. So we're going to hear some more music throughout the course of the day. We're going to be visiting with the Hartford Denim guys that are going to be using this iConnect space later on. And again, if you're in the area, come on by and hear some live music. I have to get this out of the way first. Why exactly, Michael, is the name called a band called Little Ugly?
What it comes from is just the idea of that there's beauty in everything, even something that is a little ugly. When I first started the group, I was thinking of kind of using that as like a nickname for myself. But then slowly we added members, and it stuck with the group.
That was going to be your nickname. That was going to be your, like, Frank Black or whatever.
Absolutely. It's also a lyric in a song by the Decemberists that really spoke to me. But
we might talk about the Decemberists a little later on. They're a band that I know you guys really appreciate, and you have a little bit of a sound like them. We'll talk about some influences in a little bit. How exactly did you get the band started, though?
Let's see. I was working at what was LaSalle Music in West Hartford as a guitar instructor, and my good friend Casey Cormier, who played upright bass, he was also looking to start a group with kind of like the acoustic rock influence. So him and I started playing the songs together and slowly just built this group. He ended up having to move to Colorado, but this is like the players that we've been playing with for a long time.
And this was when? How long ago did this start?
Oh, wow.
2 months ago.
Thank you. Nick, when did that start, Nick?
4 years ago.
I think about 4 years, yeah.
4 years ago, wow. So after 4 years, do you feel like the band has changed an awful lot, or is it pretty much exactly the conception that you had at the time?
This is exactly what I've always wanted with the group. Really, when we added Kaya into the mix is when it really all came together. But yeah, our sound has changed quite a bit over the 4 years, absolutely.
And Kaya, you joined the band 2 years ago?
2 years ago today.
Absolutely. So this is an anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. We're actually, we're calling it my Ugly-versary.
So. The Ugly-versary. Yeah. Very, very nice. So what brought you into this group?
Actually, we knew each other through mutual friends. And the year before I joined, I actually opened for the guys in New Haven as a solo artist. And they were in need of a new member. And Michael called me up. Actually, it was in the middle of that snowstorm, that blizzard we had in October.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I was checking my email at like a gym that had opened its doors to everybody who didn't have power, and I got an email from Mike saying, please come jam with us, was what he said.
Come jam.
I mean, came to jam, and this is what happened.
Yeah. So. And you've been here ever since.
Exactly.
You know, the typical rock band formation, Nick, is, you know, it's guitar, bass, drums. How is it working a violin into that mix? Because that's something that not every band has. Maybe from your standpoint first, and then we'll talk to the violinist, see what she says.
Well, from my standpoint, as I with this group, I'm the low end because I have we have the mid range going on with the guitar, and then the violin occupies that high range. So I kind of want to stay out of that as much as possible to really let that kind of come through. So I kind of relegate myself to the lower end of the spectrum. But I love playing with the violin. It's probably one of my favorite instruments.
Michael, talk about that. Talk about incorporating that sound into a folk rock band sound, because, again, not everyone has a violinist in the band. How'd that work in?
My previous band was a much heavier rock band, so when I started this project, I wanted to make sure I stuck to acoustic instruments. So my idea behind it at first was I was going to write, like, grunge songs, and where the lead guitar would be a violin. But then it turned out I don't write grunge music, so
thankfully.
But yeah, so it just fit in perfectly with the concept that I had, and all the musicians that I was listening to at the time all had violin, not as a member, but in their songs. So
yeah.
I was thrilled to have a violinist.
Well, and I know that you've worked in a number of different settings, and as a solo artist, Kai, so talk about that. Talk about fitting into a band that's kind of it's got a folk rock sound. Where does the violin place itself? How do you do that?
You know, it's really more of an organic happening.
Yeah.
Michael comes with really structured music sometimes, and it's been, for us, like learning a writing process together, which has been pretty amazing how we grow together in that writing process. And so a lot of these tunes was creating some space for some exploration with the violin, and we've come to some things that we really love. So
how, talk about that process. How do you write songs?
Wow, we all write them very differently. So as I said, Michael writes them in a much more structured manner. He writes parts for every instrument, where I come with melody and lyrics, and it's much more of a flow. Especially the things that we do perform, songs that I've written, that we perform with this band, are things that literally, one of the songs I woke up with a melody in my head. It was just there, out of nowhere, and we'll play that song for you later, but, you know, that's kind of what sparked it, and it just happens. So, what about you, Nick? Tell us your songwriting process.
I write parts for everyone, because I'm like the main songwriter in the group, and so I come to them with everything charted out. No,
I have a feeling that's not true.
No, I listen. They let me do my own thing, and it works. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's my songwriting process.
And that's your process. Tell me about writing these songs.
Yeah, I mean, like she said, for me, it's I kind of write my guitar part and my vocals. I started off as a guitarist, so that is the easiest thing in the world for me. When it comes to singing, I'm actually still taking voice lessons. And so Kaya always is like kind of like the backbone when it comes to like the vocals. She helps me out with that. She's always sitting there looking over my lyrics, and she's like, okay, you literally wrote, I'm singing right now. So she like, she'll get rid of all the excess material that's not needed. And then with Nick, I don't speak drums. So he just, I'm just like, here's what I wrote. What are you going to do? And occasionally I'll have like a violin melody that I'd like Kaya to perform. But a lot of times it's just all of us in one room facing each other, playing, trying to work out parts and everything.
We're broadcasting today from downtown Hartford at the iConnect space at 231 Trumbull Street, right in downtown. It's right underneath the marquee of the XL Center. If you're in the city, I know that it's a little bit of a rainy day outside, but if you can stop by, there's some live music with Little Ugly. They're going to be playing at Cafe 9 tonight. They've got an EP that they released earlier this summer. We'll be talking more about that recording process in just a little bit, so you can stop by and hear some live music. Also, at 1 o'clock this afternoon, the Colin McEnroe Show is right back here for The Nose. He'll be bringing his weekly roundtable into our space, iConnect space, in downtown Hartford. Talk quickly about that first song that we heard, Named After Saints. Where did that come from?
That's one that I wrote, I think, right before you joined the band, right?
No, I was in the band already.
You're already in the band. So that was the first song I wrote while you were in the band, right?
Yes.
Maybe? Okay.
I think so.
That was 2 years ago.
So yes.
But yeah, that was inspired just about like coming of age, realizing the struggles that your parents go through, and just becoming an adult.
One thing, as I listened through to your music, they're pretty heavy songs. I mean, these aren't sort of like, you know, going to a bar and playing taking care of business kind of songs, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I'm wondering how you interact with the audiences around that. If you're playing in a bar or a club where people haven't heard your music before, maybe talk about that interaction and what you've seen from folks. Because, again, you know, a lot of people come into bars and they play, you know, happy, good time music, and these are some pretty serious songs.
With us, we try to include the audience as much as possible. So we do have some songs that are upbeat enough for people to sing along with easy enough lyrics. But I think a lot of it is just the energy that we have on stage. We move around a lot and like headbang a lot. So I think if someone's watching like the Red Sox win the World Series, woo, off to the corner of their eye, they'll see us with acoustic instruments headbanging. So eventually they kind of look over.
That's right. It's sort of a lot of energy on stage is something that I think really makes a band interact with any sort of place it's in.
Oh, absolutely. I have to say, right, we have all this energy on stage, but it's also not like here we are on stage having lots of energy. Watch us.
Yeah.
We have lots of energy. Like, come join in, and opening that energy up to the audience. It's a group experience, you know, and just kind of cocooning or blanketing the audience with that. And it always turns into, I mean, we get going, and it turns into a really good time. So.
Well, we're going to get going again. We're going to hear another song. What's the song we're going to hear next?
It's called Till the Earth Stops Shaking.
And again, this is Little Ugly. We're playing in downtown Hartford here on Where We Live.
Caked and correct are these feet that run from the echo of you. Stained and framed and battered and beat is this heart after you were through.
Holding ground to the earth,
stop shaking, lagging sound with hands to our ears. Safe and sound, you're all mistaken. We've arrived at our grave.
Your old men have tried to flee from the walls of broken tombs. Same old hymn they sold for years, we never did by the tomb.
Holding ground to the earth,
stop shaking, lacking sound with hands to our ears. Safe and sound, you're all mistaken.
We
we've arrived at our greatest fears. The breeze that stole the leaves leaves a poor excuse for sheltering. This wind strikes our grief. What is left is no relief. Yeah.
Waves they roll beneath this peak. Let the depth soak up what's in. Travel on, they grow so weak, and you follow beneath that skin.
Holding round to the earth,
stop shaking, blocking sound with heads to our ears. Safe and sound, you're all mistaken.
We've arrived
at our holding ground to the earth, stop shaking, blocking sound with heads to our ears. Safe and sound, you're all mistaken.
We've arrived at our greatest fear. We've arrived at our greatest fears.
Live from downtown Hartford, this is Where We Live. We're broadcasting from our iConnect space. That's right at 231 Trumbull Street. It's at Hartford 21, right under the marquee of the Excel Center. Stop by if you want to see some live music and a live radio show. Later today, the Colin McEnroe Show is bringing the Nose to this same space, so come on by at 1 p.m. We're joined by the band Little Ugly, Michael Day, Nick Dickinson, Kaya Pazderski. They're here playing some music with us, and we're going to hear some more of their music in just a little bit. You guys got a very nice award earlier this year, the Connecticut Music Awards. You're named Best Indie Rock Act. What did that mean for you?
The world. It was really cool because it's fan based. The fans vote and everything. So it's just it was just amazing feeling to have all their support still after all these years. And for us, I mean, like the name on it, you know, it didn't really matter to us. It's just a nice recognition of all the hard work. So we look at it as like, I don't want to say best, but I mean, I'll take it. Best independent band. Like the amount of work that we do behind the scenes for the band.
They said that you're one of the hardest working bands you'll ever encounter. So how hard working? How often are you guys gigging, and how often do you write music? I mean, what's this world like for you?
The gigging at one point was about twice a week, which was
for an entire year too. Yeah.
Wow.
For an
entire year.
And that was like only around Connecticut, New York, Boston, Rhode Island. So it was such a small space. So to be able to keep doing that over and over again. It was oversaturation, but it ended up working for us. But now, I mean, we slowed down on gigging because we're concentrating on writing quite a bit more. But the hard work is just all the behind-the-scenes stuff, the websites and the writing. So for us, it's actually it's a full-time job.
And talk a little bit about the writing that turned into this EP that got released, in, I believe you were saying earlier, Kai, in July 20th.
Did I get that?
July 20th. So this is the day. So tell us about the recording process and how that was different for you than playing out.
Oh, it is actually surprisingly incredibly different from playing out. You know, I was thought maybe a little bit. You know, it's such detailed work being in the recording studio. You really, really have to bring your, I don't want to say like A game, because we do bring our A game to every single gig, but it's just different. It's more detailed. There's more concentration. But also spending that kind of time together in a creative process was amazing. And I really feel like it kind of gave us a little shift in our songwriting, or it opened our eyes to what we really need to be doing, what we want to be doing, and just gave us kind of a little bit more direction, like a push in the next direction. So it was really awesome. Yeah.
And this record, Nick, it's more fully orchestrated. There's a lot there that I think people who see you live might not expect. Talk about that process, because when you go into a recording studio, you have an opportunity to sound slightly different than people would encounter you on stage.
Mike and I kind of share the same feeling that the live show and the recorded show don't have to feel the same. I feel there's a lot of energy to our live stuff, like we've talked about before. But in the studio, there's a chance for us to sound like what we hear in our heads that we can't necessarily accomplish live, because we'd have like 25 people on stage with us, and everyone would be making like 50 cents every show. But
not the most cost-effective way to tour around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just get a big old school bus. But you feel that, I mean, you want to, when you go into the recording studio, make something that sounds a bit different than what people are going to hear on stage?
Yeah, I view it as just two separate art forms. Growing up, I was a big fan of Radiohead, and I remember the first time I saw them live is really what got that into my head, because watching them perform songs that were like almost electronic on the album, but then playing it with their actual instruments on stage, I was like, that's cool. How am I do that? So, in my head, we and in all of our heads, we always hear like these huge epic arrangements behind all the songs. So it was just in the studio, we wanted to make sure that we got that, and our producer was absolutely amazing. Sam Marshall out of California was brilliant at helping us get that accomplished.
And the EP is called Where the River's Born. We've got links to how you can listen to more of their music on our website, WNPR.org. I just have to quickly say that whenever somebody tells me, growing up, I was listening to Radiohead as a kid, it makes me feel really old. Incredibly, incredibly old that Oops. You grew up listening to Radiohead. But that's maybe for another time. Well, stand by, guys. We're going to come back and hear a little bit more of Little Ugly in just a moment. But I want to bring into the conversation the guys from Hartford Denim Company. Now, as we've been talking about this iConnect space that's happening in downtown Hartford, we've broadcast from here a few times. The idea is it's a pop-up storefront to activate spaces that are empty right now in downtown Hartford. It's happening not just here, but in a lot of other cities. One of the things that happens is people who make stuff in this area are able to use these spaces and actually show it off. And the folks at Hartford Denim are going to be using this very space very, very soon. We got three members of the team here, so why don't you introduce yourself? Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Marshall Deming. I'm here with Dave Marcoux and Josh Westbrook.
Well, thank you very much for coming down. So first of all, what are you guys going to be using the space for?
We're going to be using it as a store as well as events. Community gatherings, just to bring the town and the city together, and just to share what's happening in our city.
And so maybe you can explain to people what exactly it is you do, and you can pass the microphone around to your other teammates here, but for people who don't know about Hartford Denim, what is it?
Well, I'm here with Dave Marcoux, and he's with the Hartford Denim Company as well as with my other business partner, Luke Davis, who's not here with us today. Josh Westbrook, he is a crafter in our space. Our space is a community space for everyone doing things that we do. So he makes moccasins in our space. It's a separate company. And we are just bringing back old craft and making things with great care and great appreciation for the quality goods.
Well, when you say bringing back old craft, Dave, maybe you can talk about this a little bit. I mean, what does this mean when you decided we're going to make jeans for a living? I mean, how did you, you know, come to this realization that this is something that you wanted to do and that you could do?
I think it never really started that we set out to make jeans for a living, but I think we all knew that we would be working with our hands and working for ourselves, and the jeans just kind of fell into place. It started as hobbies. We were doing some leather work and some woodworking, and our other partner Luke was actually making some jeans while he was in college. And then it just kind of snowballed. You know, we spent a lot of time together kind of sitting around the fire and making stuff. And then, you know, friends saw it and other people saw it and they got interested in it. And then it was like, okay, maybe this could be something that we do, you know, consistently.
So what makes Hartford Denim jeans different than the ones you'd go and buy at the Gap?
There's a lot of different things that make our jeans different. The first thing is that we make everything in-house in our workshop in Hartford. We're using all antique machines and a lot of traditional techniques that you don't really see too much anymore on mass-produced jeans. The denim that we're using is woven on vintage antique shuttle looms down in North Carolina. Some come from Japan. And we guarantee our products for life, which I don't think you see too often in the marketplace.
That's something you do not see too often in the marketplace. Have you had people reaching out to you, big corporations, saying, yeah, we want to partner with you? Because we see this all the time. I mean, now major clothing outlets are using smaller makers to brand certain pieces of it. You see groups doing this all the time. You have any deals like that working?
We had a chance last fall to work with Timberland, and we did a small run of jeans for their store in New York City. And a couple of hand-sewn leather bags. And that was a pretty cool thing. It never really, we're kind of working to see where else that project can go.
Yeah, it seems as though the market for really well-made products that you know where they're coming from is just building all the time. Mm-hmm. Talk about your market. I mean, who buys your jeans?
I don't want to say everybody, but it's almost everybody. I mean, we've got young kids, we've got old people, we've got moms, dads. I mean, it's you name it. People that care about where their stuff is coming from and how it's made is they're kind of realizing that they have to kind of step up to the plate and do that.
I'd like to talk about moccasins. Can you tell me about how you got into making handmade moccasins?
Well, I actually long ago fell in love with sneakers and collected sneakers made overseas. Had a big collection, waste all my paychecks on them, and had dreamed about making my own. I've always been a hands-on guy. I've always said, if you like something enough, why not do it yourself? It's always been my motto. And I kind of put that to the back burner for some time. And I met Marshall some years ago and started hanging out around the shop and got to know the rest of the crew. And I was really inspired. So that idea that had been put on the back burner for making shoes kind of came back and started getting obsessed over the idea to the point where I looked for an instructor. I found a guy out in Oregon that's been making Western boots really since the 70s. And said, "Hey, can you teach me how to make moccasins?" He said, "Yeah, let's do it." So I went out there, I studied under him for a while, came back, started a company, and have been learning ever since. It's suddenly, becoming a real business. I'm having customers pop up from all over the world on the internet looking for a pair, it's great. I love it, and I love the way the shoes feel on my feet, and I love making them.
That's very, very cool. Well, but before I let you guys go, and I know you're talking about using this space for lots of things other than just selling jeans, but maybe you can talk about some of the events that you've been doing as well, because, as we have a live band here downtown, just earlier this week, the Hartford Current did a big forum that Colin McEnroe hosted. People were writing a series of columns in the Hartford Current about a kind of a feel of a scene in Hartford that's about people making things with their hands. It's about people being energized around music and art. Do you feel like you're part of something that's bigger than just your company?
Oh, absolutely. And we've been throwing a series of events, flea markets, for the past 2 years, where we've brought together all the local craftspeople that we can find, as well as people to just sell old things, and created these markets with a very, very nice feel. Bring the community together, sometimes with as many as 300 people. And we hope to do that with this space.
Well, and when are you going to be occupying this space? When are you coming downtown?
This week.
This week. Excellent. Well, later on this week, Hartford Denim will be right here. Thank you very much, guys, coming by. Hartford Denim is going to be a co-tenant with us. We're going to periodically be doing live shows here at the iConnect space at 231 Trumbull Street. It's located at Hartford 21, in case you don't know where the entrance is. It's on Trumbull, right under the marquee of the XL Center, which is a really good location. If you're around in that area today, you can stop by, because we're not just talking, but we're also hearing some music today from the very hardworking Hartford band Little Ugly. What are we going to hear next, guys? What's the next song we're going to hear?
This is a song called "And We Said."
Little Ugly here on Where We Live.
My last cigarette, lying on my bed. Grace filled the night with its melody, temptation with its stare. door was cracked, the window open, allowing in a summer breeze. Your suitcase packed my heart, now broken. I placed my lips upon your cheek and you said la 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 la. Long ride home was led by your words, unspoken. My heart seemed to beat to the rhythm of the rain. For a moment, the boots seemed to tell me there's still hope. Reality became clearer in my rearview mirror when the moon spoke up again and she said la 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 la. In the morning and you're gone. And I said la 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 la.
Live from downtown Hartford, this is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up on Monday's show, our schools teach a variety of foreign languages, but should we be focusing on the language of computer programming? Even NBA star Chris Bosh is asking everyone from young kids to the homeless to learn to code. Why aren't we teaching it more? It seems like President Obama might need an army of coders to fix the glitchy healthcare website. You can join the conversation coming up on the next Where We Live. Today we're broadcasting from our downtown pop-up radio iConnect space on Trumbull Street in downtown Hartford. We're joined by the Hartford music band Little Ugly. They're a staple on the music scene here. They were named the best indie rock band at the Connecticut Music Awards this past year. They've got an EP that you can find out more about if you go to our website, WNPR.org. You've been playing music for us all throughout this morning, and we appreciate it very much. But we're going to hear another song before we talk some more. What song do we have? Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the song first.
The song is it's called O'Return.
Yeah,
and it's something that we've been playing for a while now. I still feel like it's a newer song, but it's definitely a crowd favorite. We performed it at the first annual Connecticut Music Awards, It's one of our darker pieces. It's one of our louder pieces. So for your audience members at home, they might want to turn down the volume if they don't like loud. I said to Michael this morning, I was like, I don't know if this is like appropriate NPR material. So
it's really interesting. So we've got a dark, loud rock and roll played under fluorescent lights in an old cell phone store in the middle of the city. This is at 9 o'clock in the morning. So let's just try it. What the heck, right?
Rule breakers.
Absolutely. This is a little ugly on where we live.
Returned to the woods from whence she came. It was there in the woods she learned how to pray. Washed away the allegiance he swore. Denying the cells from which he came, as he dared to disown the choices they made. Please.
That's Little Ugly, Kaya Pizdurski, Michael Day, and Nick Dickinson. Yeah, I guess if I was in a bar, I'd probably look up and watch that if the Red Sox are on in the back, right?
That's, I hope so.
Yeah, that's. So it's, yeah, it's a little bit of a dark song.
Just a little.
Yeah. It come from any particular dark place or?
I wasn't in the most fun period of my life. You could say that. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. No, it definitely was a, you know, write about some things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, I asked you before about influences, and I know you've mentioned the Decemberists already. We've had a number of bands on the show that sort of talk about a folk rock kind of revival that has been happening over the course of the last couple of years. Do you feel like you're part of something specific, or do you not really place yourself with any other bands that you might have heard of?
I think when I first started this, I wanted to place myself in something specific, but as it's evolved, I think we've kind of branched outside of that a little bit. I definitely, obviously, we are part of like this whole folk rock revival, but being a part of the Hartford music scene and playing with the bands that we play with, we're constantly being influenced by that and just really inspired by the bands that we get to see around here. So, I mean, if I have to place it, we're part of the folk rock revival slash Hartford.
Slash Hartford. Well, is there a Hartford sound? Is there something that's coming out of all of this collaboration, do you think?
You know, I definitely would say there is not a Hartford sound because there's so many different musicians, but I would say that there is a feel. There is something coming out of Hartford, and it's this desire to create music in such a supportive way. We have all our friends are in the other bands, and it's, you know, people will ask us about, you know, who do you think the best band is or who do you think has more fans? And it's, you know, that's always kind of a jarring question for us because, you know, it's not about that. It's about making music and sharing each other on. And it's right. It's been amazing. It's so much fun.
But we were talking with the Hartford Denim guys before about that, but this idea of a collaborative that goes beyond just music. I've seen you perform with your friend Kate Callahan in the past, Kaya, who, of course, has been part of this music scene for quite some time. And, you know, at a time when there wasn't as much going on, maybe when she first started playing in coffee shops, and now it seems though there's this huge scene. Talk a bit more about that collaboration, how it works when you are working with other folks that maybe don't share the same musical style, but just care about making music.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think more than anything, it's exciting. I know when I perform with Kate, it's. You know, it just fills me up in a way, like, and I come back to these guys, and I say, like, oh my gosh, like, listen to this, like, lyric that she wrote, and that's such an amazing way she thought about shaping this song, and, you know, we all play with different musicians at some point, and we come back, and we bring it, and it helps shape our music as well, and, you know, we've been inviting other musicians to come play with us right now that we're a trio, and even tonight at our gig down at Cafe 9 New Haven, Carl from String Theory, who's also, I believe, been on your show, he's going to be playing with us tonight. Yeah, and we're so excited, you know, and he was thrilled. Michael just rehearsed with him the other night, so.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. The bass parts are going to be ridiculous. He's incredible.
Yeah, he is pretty incredible. Yeah, it's nice for a drummer to have a bass player, sort of a jazz bass player in your band.
It's just nice to have a bass player, I think, in my mind. It's because that's, I mean, I connect with these guys, but, like, the thing I miss is, like, that low-end rumble. I'm excited for tonight. I'm stoked.
Oh no, that should be great. Well, I could see. So we're playing in this iConnect space. It's basically an old storefront with nothing else in it, and so we're not playing as loud as we possibly could. It seemed, Nick, I play a little drums myself. It seemed like you were holding back just a little bit there, like you would normally play a bit louder on that song. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would normally use drumsticks, but in this space that you wouldn't hear anybody else if I did that. So
yeah. Well, look, the last thing I want to talk about is I know that your record that you recently put out, the EP, you funded in part through Kickstarter, right? Talk about how this business works right now, because it seems as though through Kickstarter and the ability to, you know, get your music direct to people over the internet, there are a lot more openings for this. How did that work for you, and do you think you see more room to grow in that way?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It was actually their idea. I'm pretty sure I was opposed to it at first because I was terrified of it, really. Yeah, I was just terrified.
Terrified that you'd try it and no one would give any money, or terrified that it wouldn't,
Yeah, that we wouldn't succeed, and then also I just wasn't aware of the concept of, like, crowdsourcing. I just thought that, like, asking people for money in advance was a bad idea. And then I really researched the topic and realize that crowdsourcing is becoming such a huge part of the scene now, with, you know, music sales not really there anymore, and a band like us who needs to tour but doesn't necessarily have the opportunity, you know, asking people to donate with a reward being guaranteed. It's basically just like pre-ordering an album. That's all it is. So yeah, crowdsourcing, like I keep following all these bands and it's incredible. Like some of my favorite groups will go on tour and they'll like tweet, hey, anybody at the show have a place for us to stay? We'll put a private party or a private concert at your house. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant idea. Saves the musicians so much money when they're touring and not making too much. So I fully support it.
Well, we're public radio, so we're used to bizarre funding models that we're always scared won't work. And so we're really glad that it's working for you. We're running low on time, and we're going to have Little Ugly play us out in just a moment. But I do want to thank Michael Day, Nick Dickinson, and Kaya Pazderski. They're Little Ugly. Thank you so much for coming out, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I also want to thank our friends at the Hartford Denim Company for stopping by. Very soon at this space at Hartford 20 Run, right under the marquee of the XL Center, they will be selling their handmade products right here. Thanks to Hartford's iConnect project. Also, thanks to Helder Mira and Ty Stone, who came out and took video, which we'll see later on at WNPR.org. Kion Wolf for taking pictures. Our program is produced by Tucker Ives. The senior producer is Katie Solarski. Our interns are Corey Breen and Greg Dyson. So what are we going to hear last here?
There's a song called Bring Your Broke.
Lay it all in the dust and abandon you must all the ways accustomed you've grown. Lay it all at our feet, let it out all you weep and surrender the life you've known. When you held all our trust and adorned it with lust, as you prayed upon the throne, and the beggars who speak of the rules you can't keep, in their eyes what's lost, you oh.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.